Welcome to the Blessings of Christ on the second day of October. Greetings, everybody, into a new month. And with every month, we have a new opportunity to live our life to the fullest with a slightly different definition of what that looks like as the seasons roll. So do our celebrations. And we're getting, well, fully into the back-to-school season of the year, athletics, parties, gatherings, because now, pardon me just a moment. Now at last we can go outside without the mosquitoes and have some cool mornings for a walk. Isn't it beautiful how everything becomes defined a little different? Not just every season in terms of the four seasons, but every micro season as we go through it. And I want to keep this in mind with regard to our blessing for the people in along Hurricane Ian's pathway. Many people are suffering today and have been for the last few days. And I have the deepest, not just sympathy, but empathy for that. Where they are, I have been, and I know what it's like. And we have quite a number of good friends of our community that live in that pathway. I have not heard from them yet, but I'm trusting they're okay and taking care of what's important every new day for their life. So we remember our community there as well as everyone in that area who have been through tremendous challenge, if not suffering, at least challenge. And it is, you can't imagine how multidimensional the challenge is until you've been through a hurricane. It's, and how surprising the effects are. I remember watching a report just yesterday where the reporter didn't really understand what he was looking at, but he said, you know, it's almost miraculous because this building he was talking about in Venice, Florida, this building that has been for decades a music theater and an art theater, it's just devastated. Right next to it, right over here, is a building that wasn't touched. He said, makes you wonder, like, is the hand of fate coming in and affecting others more than others? Well, I'm going to give you guys a little understanding he didn't have. Inside of a hurricane, there are thousands, if not more, if not tens of thousands, micro hurricanes that are actually quite identical to a tornado. A hurricane, you might say a hurricane is made up of a million little clusters of whirlwinds and tornadoes, and they can strike independently along the same street. It happened to me, to Larry and I, 5 years ago when Hurricane Harvey came to town. We were touched a little. Well, we had three. To show you how close we were to the action, we had three large oak trees completely uprooted and turned upside down. And I'm talking about the kind of oak trees that have, well, at least a 2.5-foot diameter. We're talking about probably 100-year-old trees. And then, right down the street, a house was completely demolished. And across the street, it was a house that was completely untouched. And people were just scratching their heads. How does this happen? Well, it's part of the dynamics of that kind of storm. So I thought I'd just give you a little point of education there. But I'm sure God and the angels have something to do with and the faith that we bring to any situation has something to do with how badly we are struck by it. Larry and I had the face of elephants nothing could move Larry out of there. He says, we're staying, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of others. We're going to provide a strong wave of faith. Well, our house was hardly affected, except that the waters around caused flood damage on the floors. But, and of course, we lost our privacy fence. That's not going to stand up against 150-mile-an-hour winds. But we were an anchor of faith, and we were not majorly damaged, not majorly compared to others around. But I still feel that we offered a power of faith. And that's what we can do in the blessing today, to be a strong rock upon the ground that doesn't move, no matter what prevails against it, and be here in our faith for their recovery. Recovery is just as challenging as the takedown, because in the takedown, it all happens so fast, you don't even know what's happening. But you look outside the next morning in the daylight and you just say, oh, Lord, I cannot believe this. I just can't believe it. Okay, well, those blessings have been given. And it brings up another subject. I'm just going to drift into this other part of the subject because it's really important. Really, really. Going through a hurricane, it's easy to see. A lot of your problems are external. Once you size up the damage, you determine how you're going to deal with it. You have your insurance written up, and you've bonded with your neighbors and your friends, and you have a plan. You're naturally going to feel better because you're dealing with the external problem. And in a situation like that, it's easy to see that at least 80% of it is an external problem. We do have internal collateral damage, and that's the big question of why did this have to happen? Why did I have to go through this? What am I supposed to suffer? You know, we can pour these things back on us. And then it begins to become a problem that we blame ourselves with. And it's not a right way to approach the problems of life. The problems of life need to be approached by looking with your eyes, your ears, your thoughts, your communications to others, and determining what the problem is. Then making a plan, rolling up your sleeves, and getting into it. Because that begins to relieve something I'm going to call, and really it's an important thing, overwhelm. When we become overwhelmed by anything, we lose our ability to discern the particulars. All of the particulars are just crammed into all the other particulars, and it's one big mess. Like the mess I saw on our lawn the morning after Harvey came through town. When we are overwhelmed, everything seems like a mess. And we can't even pick out the issues. I have been going through this for the last 4 weeks with kind of a meltdown in my body, with coughing and just weakness and stress-related issues. And so overwhelmed, I didn't really know what particular ones to treat or deal with. But as I relieved the overwhelm through discernment and assistance from, medical assistance and assistance from dear friends who came in to help me, I began to relieve certain particular symptoms that then allowed me to discern the rest of it. It's like sometimes when we get sick, it's like the day after a hurricane. All of our symptoms become one big mess of just feeling bad. And then on top of that, feeling sorry for ourselves. And then feeling really bad about life and why things are going the way they are. Overwhelm builds more overwhelm, builds more overwhelm. And I want you to start thinking about rolling back the overwhelm. Because overwhelm is what actually shuts your perceptions down. In a way, overwhelm is an emotional, psychological version of shock. You know, we go into, if you fall down, you break a leg. I'm not going to say you, a person does, breaks a leg. Okay. Your body will actually throw you into shock, partly so you can't feel the pain, partly so that you don't create collateral damage through emotional dramas, screaming for help, fearing the worst. Your body goes into shock to help you, to relieve you from creating more damage than is necessary. It's a kind of anesthesia, you might say. And I learned about this in terms of a different kind of issue, and that is that after I lost my dear one 2 years ago, I went into shock. And I was in shock for probably 2 months where I really couldn't think very well. I grieved, of course, in the sense of being extremely sad and mourning. But it wasn't with any particular cleansing release. It was just being stuck in a state of loss, not knowing how to deal with it or what to do with it. That, my friends, is shock. And I was counseled by grief counselors and doctors and psychologists, and they all described it the same way. The first step of grieving is shock. And so a lot of people coming out of this hurricane, they're going to be in shock, and they're not going to know what to do. Let us bless them through the shock to wake up and seek help, unify, and pull together to move through this. It's a learning experience that you can then apply to your life and will help you through a lot of situations that you're in. And I have recently been given a request by a very dear friend of mine who's part of our community, and no names ever or any description that could help this person be identified, but it's all about feeling terribly depressed, and antidepressants are not working. Well, the chances are this all started with some kind of extreme discouragement with life. You see, we cannot treat internally what is an external problem, and there's probably shock now of why am I going through this? Why does nothing work? Why am I feeling so upset with myself? Why is God not helping me? And so forth. And we can throw those things at us, and it only makes things worse. Because it increases the overwhelm, and it increases the sense of saturation for emotions that feel like depression. But that's because we don't know what to do with what's going on. This is a time for faith. It's a time for being with our closest loved ones to gain encouragement, and then to look at external issues that are not resolving for you. Handle those, as many of those external issues as you can. And if you then begin to see a change in your outlook on life, you'll know most of it actually is out there. And for people, I just want to say this, for people of faith who really know that you are an eternal soul, a child of God, the chances are very, very good that whatever you're suffering started outside yourself. And then you took it into yourself thinking, well, that's the best place I can handle it. I don't have the wherewithal to handle it out there. But if I take it into myself, maybe I can reprogram it and change it into something positive inside me. Maybe I can learn from it. Maybe I can gain empathy from it. Maybe it will make me a better citizen of the world. For maybe 1,000 reasons, we will internalize a problem because we're strong internally. Internally, as a person of faith, we are stronger internally than we are externally. We may not have much money. We may not have much influence in the situation. We may not have allies that help us through it. And so we feel weak externally, then we will internalize it. And that's then when we become very overwhelmed. We can't sort through it. And absolutely, absolutely, antidepressants will not handle that. They will not handle that because it was not an internally generated problem. I have actually been in a similar situation, one after Larry passed away and one earlier when I was going through an extreme financial challenge. And went to see my doctor and said, you know, is there any, what are your best recommendations for me to handle the stress? And he said, well, let's try some antidepressants. And I said, oh, no, you don't. Uh-uh. And he said, oh, come on. They're not going to hurt you. Try them for 3 weeks and see if it doesn't matter. I said, no. Finally, he got me to try. He described one, and I tried it 3 weeks later. I'm not any better. Can I get off of this? And he said, well, it'll take you 3 weeks to get off of this because you've adapted now. And I said, well, thank you very much. I knew it wasn't an internal problem. And he said, well, I guess you knew better than I knew. Yes, I did. And I've been through this, my friend. And, you know, they're good for people who actually have. It may not be the best solution, but they're good. They're workable, at least on a temporary basis for people who actually have chemical imbalances, who actually have, pressures that are affecting the brain internally, whether it's a growth or a damage such as a concussion or some brain bleed or something that actually has physically affected your body. And so this condition is from the inside out. Some of these medicines are very good and they can work as long as they're well monitored. So I'm not bashing these medications, but they won't help a problem that is externally generated that you then internally took because you thought you could handle it there. So bringing us up to date on my thoughts about living a blessed life, in terms of what I brought into the blessing today with the storm that's percolating, and also one last perspective on the internalization of external problems. Especially the blessing givers will understand this. In a world that is shattered with chaos, and constantly moving and shifting in its orientation and its vibrations and its electromagnetic signals, which ours is. Chaos can become a chronic condition that we don't recognize as being externally generated. You know, it's easy to see something is externally generated if the thunder and the lightning and the winds brought it in. But what about something that has been externally generated, but it's been slowly increasing over the years? Kind of like the frog in the kettle syndrome. Okay? You could put a live frog in. That's a horrible analogy. I don't want to, but I think you've heard it before. And we don't recognize it, but it is external. It is. And you say, well, how can I deal with it? Well, you're going to deal with it by being more influential in your personal environment. You're going to live with a greater state of order and organization, journal for the day, talk to your friends, make your external life more what you want it to be. Now, you can't organize the world. You can't. It's going to be what it is. But if you've got your own world established as a comparison point, then you can tell when you step outside the house, how bad the weather is out there. And I'm not talking about climate weather. I'm talking about geophysical, human weather, other forms of weather. You can tell because you've got a basis of comparison. So make your own external world as peaceful and simplistic as you can. And there's a lot of wisdom in the simple word, simplify. Just simplify. Bring order. Bring peace. And make time for yourself so that you can be the point of peace, not the point of trouble that you've transposed from the world inside yourself. Just recognize that you're doing that and don't.
Absolutely.
It may take a while, but you can reverse that. Okay. Well, Nancy, I hear you making comments. So
I am. I just love it because, I just love how Yeshua told us about, you know, chaos is pretty much just part of the 1% of physical reality in that, you know, he instructs us to invoke the power of the Holy Spirit where peace is. And so we always have that at our fingertips and make such a...
We do.
You know.
We do. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have your own center of peace, which is within the love that you are. Be that. Be that. You know, find things. This is something I do. It's a little practice I do. Find things that might not normally be lovable, like a little stone on the path. You know, people stepping on it, kicking it around. Nobody might find it lovable, but you look at it, you pick it up, and you say, you know, I love this. I love this. Well, why? Why do you love it? Chances are because you established a communication with it, and it recognized the love in you. It's important to be around people and things and activities and just desires, hopes, and dreams that love you. That love you. You know, we somehow, I think the political correctness of the world, which is very political and not always so correct.
That's great. That's funny, too.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say amen. Yes, it's very political and not always so correct. Sometimes it's had some good points that we needed to learn from. But it's a little too full of itself, let's put it that way. And we've been taught that we should try to love everything. Well, yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. But that doesn't mean we have to hug everything. I mean, I'm not going to go out and hug a rattlesnake. I'm sorry, my friends, but I'm not. Now, maybe somewhere in this world, there is a rattlesnake whisperer who could pick up one of those guys, wrap it around his neck, and they would just have a love fest. Okay? But I'm not one of those guys. And I don't feel compelled to love in that way. Not everything has to be loved in the same way. The way I would love a rattlesnake is that if I caught one around my house, which I have numerous times because I've lived either in the country or quasi-country so much of my life, I call animal control. They come out, they pick it up, put it in the bucket, and then they take it out to a pasture. That's my idea of loving that snake. I don't get a hoe out and chop its neck off. I don't get, you know, I don't have a gun, but back in the old days when everybody did, my dad would go out and just pop the head off of those things. Well, I don't do that. So my idea of loving is to get something in its right place where it can thrive and get on with life. And I don't have to hug it. Okay? Well, the same is true with people, my friends. You don't have to be, you don't have to walk through dangerous neighborhoods just to prove that you love someone. There's other ways of showing love. And you don't have to have people in your life that don't love you. You really, really don't. You know, this is a matter of self-esteem. This is a matter of preferential living. You've only got so many days on this earth, and we don't know how many they are, but God does. God knows exactly. It's said in the Bible several times, your days are numbered to the exact count of days. So we don't know what they are, but we know that they're not going to be infinite in a mortal form. Yes, in an immortal form for our soul, that's another story. But on this earth, our days are numbered. And how are you going to spend them? You're going to spend them around people and things that hate you. So you're always curled back in a defensive position, feeling insecure, not taking care of yourself, wondering, well, what did I do wrong? Why do they hate me? You probably didn't do anything wrong, my friends. And they probably hate you because they're full of hate, and they would hate almost anybody. You know, let them deal with each other and teach each other that it's not fun. It's not enlivening. It's not inspiring to be around those who hate you. And so, well, what do we do with this quote that Yeshua said, love your enemies? Well, you have to understand, love doesn't mean live around. Love doesn't mean attach yourself to. Love doesn't mean indulge. Love doesn't mean spoil. You know, we're kind of living in an age where if you love somebody, you're going to spoil them. That's a pretty new concept, my friends, because we, you know, we didn't have the luxury of even spoiling our kids 100 years ago. And, you know, you don't have to just let them beat up on you and beat up on you and say, okay, well, I know you're stressed. I know your life is hard. I'll just put up with it. And you walk away with bruises. No. You know, let the people who are hating live with other people who are hating so they can teach each other that it's no way to live. This brings up a kind of parable, but it's also a teaching story. I learned from my husband, but I think he learned it from somebody else. It doesn't sound like something original for him, but it compares heaven and hell. Okay, this guy had just passed away. He arrived on the high ground at the gates of heaven, and Peter met him, and he said, well, we know you're hungry after your travel and what you went through, so let's take you to a banquet room and let you get something to eat. And he said, I'll show you the banquet rooms and you can choose which one you want to be in. So they went to three banquet rooms. And the first one they went into, well, there were these people sitting at the table, and they all had, the only thing they had to eat with was a long, long spoon, like about 2 feet long. And they were trying to figure out how they could hold that spoon and get food into their mouth. And they couldn't. So they were thin and continued to be hungry. They couldn't. And Peter said, these are the people who never learned how to feed other people. We went to another room. The spoons were equally long, and they couldn't feed themselves, but they were beating each other up with the spoons to try to force the other guy to feed them. And, of course, the other guy was so mad, he turned around and beat them. So they wound up having food fights. And out of the food fights, they'd pick up a little food and eat it. And then they went to the third room where people were eating and happy, and they had everything just right. And it's because, well, everybody, it's easy when you're sitting across the table to take a 2-foot spoon and feed somebody else. And so everybody was feeding everybody else. Everybody got their whole meal and dessert and everything they needed and cordial conversation on top of that. Well, it's an example that we teach each other by being with others that have a similar tendency. So this guy was going through, he said, well, what's the point of this? And he said, well, the people who don't know to feed others in order to be fed will teach each other that. They'll eventually learn because they'll get hungry enough to learn. And the people that are fighting will eventually learn that they don't enjoy eating food off the floor. They'll learn from that. And the people who are in here feeding each other, they already know what to do. So maybe I've taken too long on this little introduction, but it comes to one key conclusion, and that is what Yeshua taught us. Yes, to love one another, but also love yourself. To love others as you love yourself. So you've got to think, okay, how can I love myself and love the others? That's your puzzle. You got to figure out. Well, see, my answer to loving the rattlesnake is obviously he doesn't want to be here in the city. Take him to where he'll love the crowns. Take him there. I'll be free of him. He'll be free of me. Okay? In other words, how do you love others that you could also love yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That's the puzzle. That's what you have to figure out. And this is where political correctness does not work. It just simply doesn't work. It says, well, you're doing okay. Okay, you just let somebody else do okay instead of you. That doesn't work, my friends. It doesn't. We've got to learn how to help one another in a way that it also helps ourselves. That's the only way we actually move forward and we move to a higher ground. Okay, Nancy?
I'm here. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for that wonderful message, Glenda. I know everybody was really touched in so many ways. We do have a lot of wonderful callers today. Our first person, it looks like, it doesn't have a name, but it's area code 808. Hi.
Okay.
Diana. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Who did you say you were?
My name is Diana. Hi.
Hi, Diana. Welcome.
And thank you so
much. What blessing would you like to ask for?
I really need some support. I'm just noticing that I'm extremely fatigued and easily triggered, honestly. And I have, like, a long road ahead of me, 6 years of medical school, and I really need some support from above, please.
Okay. We give you support, and we call for the Holy Spirit for you. Just be looking for the Holy Spirit to show up in subtle as well as dramatic ways in your life and surround you with love and grace, tenderness, and care to ease your sensitivity to the harshness of the world and give you inner strength that accepts only those things that are good for you and recognizes the things that are not so good for you, that you may send them on and bless them to a greater application somewhere else.
Thank you. Can I also ask for just a blessing for my physical health? Like, I'm not getting my menstrual cycle, and I think I have intense adrenal fatigue.
Of course.
Funny, but, yeah.
Well, of course. And I'm sure it's an integral part of the overall problem.
Absolutely. And my dog is also suffering. He is pretty allergic to the environment here, and it's gone to the point where he's just yelping at night and scratching, pulling all his fur out. So I've already taken him to the vet, and there's nothing they can do.
So it's just environmental toxicity that's affecting him?
Yeah. And the fleas are biting him, and he just has, like, an open sore in his stomach at this point and patches of fur missing because he's chewing on himself so aggressively. It's really, really hard.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
you can drink the fleas, can't you?
I given him flea medication, which is very toxic, so I really didn't want to do it. But I would say of all the blessings, can the one main one be for him? Because I think I'll be fine, but he needs help.
Hmm. Well, I had a dog with that situation, if I can interject, and he was allergic to his shots and things and chewed himself alive, and it was really awful to see. So then we worked with a homeopathic vet, and it really made a difference. So just something to put out there.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Actually, yeah. Animals respond very, very well to homeopathic treatment. If any of you remember the stories in my books about Gunnar, my beautiful companion during the days when Yeshua was with me, I had him exclusively with a homeopathic veterinarian. She was in Phoenix, Arizona, and she did telephone consultation. So you might be able to find her if you, I think she was fairly young then. So I hope and think, now she was, you know, this is a good example of what you're saying about toxicity, because she was a licensed medical veterinary doctor, but she did not like that direction of veterinary medicine, and she spent a lot of money becoming educated in the alternate direction of homeopathic veterinary medicine. And she was great. She was great. Gunnar could probably have lived another 5 years if we got her soon enough. So they are out there, and I think that's a great suggestion. Thank you, Nancy.
Sure. Well, good luck and blessings with that.
Thank you. Yeah, just prayers for Rumi, my dog, please. That'd be good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Well, our next caller is Caroline. Hi, Caroline.
Hi. Lovely to hear your voices, Nancy and obviously Glenda. I have about three different blessings today. My dear friend David, who went through prostate cancer, is concerned about a test that wasn't great, and he's gone in for some further testing. And I just want a blessing for him to be in full health and have great results from the testing and procedures that he's going through. So that's my dear friend David. Please give him a blessing.
Definitely.
And,
okay.
And then the second thing is that I'm having some issues with my ex. He's starting to not keep up. He doesn't want to keep to some of the terms of the agreement, the divorce agreement we made together. And since his new young wife has come on the scene, he's been less. He was great before that, but now he's starting to not want to keep to some of the terms, and it's problematic for me. And the third blessing concerns the business that we used to own that he now has, and he's been, you know, cutting people's wages and laying people off and really not showing an awful lot of empathy and gratitude to these people that have worked for us for a long time. So I'm kind of concerned about that because, you know, it means that probably that business is going to fail. So those are my three blessings, David and his prostate cancer, me and my relationship with my ex and him, and trying to have a way that he does keep to the agreements that we've made. He has some cognitive issues, which I'm concerned about, so I really hope that those resolve. And then three, the problem with the staff and employees of the company. So there you go, quite a lot of blessings, but thank you so much for doing that.
Okay. 25 is no harder than one.
So, yeah, and obviously I really hope that you, a blessing for you, Glenda, to resolve your issues with your throat and your health, because that's been going for a while, and all of us here want to see you as fit as possible, and are dying to see those new books with all that wonderful material that you still have in note form. So a huge amount of blessings for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And it's all going to happen, you know. It's in God's time, and sometimes we just have to just sit back and relax.
That's
not
right.
Not so easy
yeah.
to do. But a good suggestion.
Yeah. Life forces you to rest and relax because you aren't doing it on your own.
That's right.
Yeah. And I do love your quote on political correctness. I might steal that somewhere when I do podcasts. It's brilliant.
Oh, please do.
For my new book, so.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. And, love to everybody.
Love to you, Carolyn. So good to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Cynthia, bye-bye. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Can you hear me?
We can, Cynthia. Welcome.
Oh,
and
great.
How can we bless you today?
Wow. I can feel the energy here. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to say thank you, Glenda, for what you just talked about. I've never known what's going to be said when I come on here, and you've answered the questions that I wanted to ask. But the blessing I have is, one, to ask for blessings for my work. I'm in a situation where I'm realizing I'm in a toxic space, and I'm not sure what I've done or did wrong with these people, but I can feel it, and nobody's talking. So I am just working with that, and I appreciate everything you just said earlier. It just hit right on the nail. And blessings to you and to the people in Florida of what's been happening. And just being here is a blessing in this moment. It's such a gift of me listening with you and you sharing everything you've just shared and everybody else that's on here. So thank you. I'm so proud of, I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, and you're part of a wonderful. And this group is part of the blessing. So I just want to thank everybody for all that you bring to our Sunday gathering, because you are the blessing.
Wow. And may I ask one question? It was on that's why I came here with. When I'm asking for my dreams in my life, someone told me when I talk with God, and of course I came back to you and your book because I've had Love Without End since when you printed it and it came to me. I was told I have to be very specific about what I want. Is that true? That's all. That was my question.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think you do. I think you have to be very true about what you want. You've heard the parable. Be careful what you ask. Might get it. Well,
yeah.
Sometimes we ask for what we haven't really examined thoroughly as a consequence. If I really got it, is that actually what I want? And for me, it usually gets back into the heart. I could adapt to a lot of things externally, but the one thing I cannot adapt to is unhappiness in my heart. I can't adapt to that.
Okay. Thank you.
It doesn't feel good to your heart. Don't ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
It probably isn't your fault, and you probably didn't do anything wrong. It just may be that you're not as easy to manipulate as other people are.
Wow. Amazing. Again, thank you so much for your wisdom and simplicity in expressing everything here and for having all of us on. Thank you, Glenda.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. All righty.
Thank you, Cynthia. Okay. Let's see. Aria, Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Aria. My voice is cracking. Hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I got sick again about 2.5 weeks ago, and unfortunately, the chest x-ray showed that it's unfavorable changes to my moderate asthma. So I'm asking the Master of Love, Yeshua, to please help me with breathing and my throat. I get coughing, and then I can't stop, and, like, I can't catch my breath. So I do understand about your throat and the coughing, but mine is getting to the point where I need some other help. I've tried the ivermectin and everything, but I'm asking for that. And also, I wanted to say that I have been in the quantum field, and that is my saving grace, because I know that that's the pure potential of all that is.
That's right.
I'm very grateful that you brought that up, and I have been working in that quantum field.
Excellent. Excellent, because there are no problems there. There just are not.
Yeah. Right.
Well, so I will certainly bless your lungs and everything you're going through in the respiratory area. And one of the things that Louise Hay wrote a number of years ago, she was, are you familiar with her?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, she was a doctor on lots of levels, from the spirit down to holistic treatments. And she said that respiratory problems almost always had their origin in fear.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah. We're living in an environment right now which is just saturated with fear in ways we don't even recognize. There's fear that we can't even see anymore because we've acclimated to it. We have adapted to it as a way of life, becoming more cautious of this, not saying that, not going to places we used to like. It's everywhere. Being very careful what you say, and so forth. So I'm sure you know the whole story because we're all.
I know, and we pick it up because we're all on the grid. We're all together. You know, we're all connected, you know.
That's right. That's right.
So I appreciate that, and I'm working on letting go of any fear and grief and sadness and trauma. So thank you for what you said earlier. It's always so helpful, Glenda.
Okay. Well, Louise Hay said that, so I give her credit for it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Aria.
Thank you, Nancy. Love you all.
Love you, too. Okay. Let's see. We've got so many wonderful callers. Nancy, your line is open.
Hello, Nancy. Hello, Glenda. This is Nancy. How are you doing? I've been listening to you guys, and it's so wonderful. I have three blessings to ask for. I have Rosie, who has two family members in the hospital, and Pamela, who's lost her husband. He hit his head and never woke up. And then Laura, bless her, just lost her baby during childbirth. So I personally, I know, made me cry. Anyway, I'm about to have my blood work done and go into a pre-op for cataracts and hopefully keratoconus. So prayers for me. And okay, Glenda, I do doTERRA oils and I love your oils and everything. doTERRA has a On Guard lozenges for your throat. It's cinnamon and clove and, orange. To help, especially the clove will numb the throat and keep you, and the cinnamon will take care of viruses and infection. And the orange is, of course, vitamin C that, you know, will, you know, help with all that. Lemongrass for fleas for the dog. And my journeys have been, every now and then I run into energy workers or Reikis, but mostly energy workers are the best because they don't stay in one field. And I had had a car accident, a truck hit me, and she looked at me, she goes, "Can I take away your trauma?" And I go, "Yes, please." And that accident has never been a problem for me. Other things have. but she goes, that trauma, she basically was able to take away the trauma from that accident. And also I ran into one man that was able to help me with the fear and the sadness of losing my mom. And when that was released, it came directly out of the lungs, you know, and you feel the breath and it, how bad it was, and releasing that. So anyway, that's what's going on with me.
That's wonderful, and it demonstrates how many avenues there are for healing. But what they all have in common is they restore wholeness. Anything that does not restore wholeness is not healing. It's just treating the symptoms. And unfortunately, a lot of our licensed medicine is focused on treating symptoms, and very little of it is actually focused upon restoring wholeness. So it's something to contemplate. At times, we want those symptoms treated. they're really bad. But put your attention.
And sometimes it's a lesson that we need to, you know, work through. Yes. So
yes, it is. It is. And sometimes very simple things we do in life can restore wholeness, at least to a situation. Maybe not to all of life, but at least to a situation.
And it helps us find out how strong we are, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. This has been great. And you're on my list for all of your blessings. And everybody,
you
know, I keep my list for the coming week. So whenever I'm doing a blessing during the week, you get a repeat treatment. Okay?
Yay.
Yeah. Those are some pretty big blessings for sure. Losing a baby and a husband and so many things.
That was out of the blue, yeah. Both of them.
Well, then thank God for our wonderful, brave energy workers. Golly.
Yes.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Christopher. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Oh, so good to hear you all. I am so grateful to be here, and I have three blessings. I just, first of all, want to say thank you, everybody. Your hearts are so good, and it's refreshing just to hear people's kindness and deep, sincere care for each other. It's such a blessing just to hear that, so thank you. And, Glenda, thank you for your message. I got on a little bit late, and you were talking about overwhelm, and I was like, well, that's very apropos. That's kind of why what I was calling in to ask a blessing. So the first blessing is I'm on a 6-week fieldwork teaching tour, and I'm traveling with an assistant who's younger than me, and he's just so sincere and such a precious soul, but I think he struggles a bit with the intensity of, I have my own version of it, but I feel like I can take care of myself. He's younger and he's still learning. And so I just want to ask a blessing for him to continue to trust himself and in his growth process. Just be, you were talking about how we can be hard on ourselves and how that inhibits mm-hmm. our capacity to really integrate. And mm-hmm. I just have a prayer and a blessing for him to really trust himself in his process and feel the organic nature of the process and not get overwhelmed, but let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, because it has been intense, we go through these intense periods in our research and our teaching and traveling together and being in close quarters. I'm just noticing how life takes us, as Yeshua talks about, through compression and expansion. and how Yeshua talks about the ability to navigate both directions of the wave. And I feel like it's something that's inherent to me, and I have more and more of a trust as I get older about that. So, like, you know, I get really in, it gets a period of intensity, and then all of a sudden it opens into this expansion of a retreat, or even just an hour to go away and receive the blessing, or to go have a good meal. And I trust that process. But I was thinking today how blessed I am and how many people don't ever get that downtime. They don't ever feel the relief and the release from their pain. And I just wanted to send out a prayer and a blessing for those who've been traumatized, neglected, abused, who haven't, or who live inside of the system and feel really disparaged by it. And sending a blessing out to those people who don't see that ebb and flow and kind of stay in that overwhelm.
That's a very good blessing to ask for. It really is. We're living in a culture that really does not allow that unless the person specifically carves it out of their life to take. Because, let me go back to maybe a larger definition of where I'm coming from. Our whole, in the United States, and by extension to other worlds that live at a similar operational level, our world is really glued together by different types of infrastructure. It could be the electric infrastructure. It could be the roadway infrastructure. It could be the satellite infrastructure. But we are glued together by the network of multi types of infrastructure that all integrate and work together. And what we have done, or the forces in control have done for their benefit more than us, is that they have woven, we have, or they have, or all of us together have woven human lives into such an infrastructure to where even taking a day off, even taking time off, makes us feel like we're taking time away from something, and we shouldn't do it. We should be there. We should be on call always. We should be involved always. We should be in that connection always. Like the life of the universe depends upon us not pulling away from the infrastructure of the world. My friends, I want to tell you, the life of the world, the life of human community depends on you do pulling away a little bit as often as you can, because you've got to go to that place of peace. You are not a piece of infrastructure. You are not, Christopher, and no one on this call is, and no one God ever created is part of the infrastructure of the world. It has captured people to the point that we feel we're on a chain gang. And we're all just a link in that chain. And whoever yanks that chain pulls us to the ground.
Wow.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, and I want to pray for all the beings who are so tied into it and don't have that awareness of the natural compression and expansion, like what I found the more that I give my life over to God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, is just that it naturally happens. So we're going through a tunnel of intensity. We have to commit, commit, commit. And then God says, okay, now you're going to go. Right now we're in a beautiful remote desert area with these incredible mountains, and it's in a retreat with friends, you know, with like-minded people, and then we'll go back into the city again, and we'll be intense again, and then we'll release again, you know. And I'm concerned when I see people that don't understand that process, like you said, staying, really being convinced that they're
well, everybody's just doing, and thank God we have the Sabbath built in, so to, you know, just to command some being and, you know, just rest.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well,
there's one last blessing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One last blessing I wanted to ask. I know we're short on time, but there's a kitty who's here at the place where I'm staying. It's a very magical place with this elder man who's a very sincere monk. He found out that his cat has cancer, and his kitty's name is Oscar Wildcat, and he's the most sweetest, adorable Siamese cat. And he's staying in his little house most of the day. He's very shaky. I just want to say a blessing for him as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oscar Wildcat. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
You bring wisdom, charm, and deep understanding to us every time.
Oh. And I can't tell you how grateful I am. The blessing is life. It's a lifeblood. And you're, Nancy, Glenda, everybody who's holding this community together, it's just the love is so palpable. It can change my life in an hour.
Oh, I know. I know. I've been there.
Yay.
All right, dear one. We'll let you go for now because we've got other folks that need to ask for a blessing.
Love you. Okay.
Love you.
Let's see. It's Sarah.
Aloha, Glenda and Nancy and beloved community. I just want to send my love to everyone. Thank you so much. All of the prayers, all of the friends, thank you so much. And I'll throw a blessing for my Aunt Debbie, for healing. And stink beer. And for my Benji, who has struggled with depression, bless her and for all who are struggling with depression.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. I've got all that down. Yeah. I love to you, always. Nancy,
yes.
Let's go ahead.
So good to hear your voice. Yes, okay, Glenda. Thank you, Sarah. Area code 415?
I think that's me, Samantha.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi. Hi, Christopher. Hi, Glenda. Just came to my mind, Diana, the woman who's dealing with a flea problem with her dog. I have four dogs and two cats, and I haven't used flea medicine for about 3 years because all my pets have amber collars, and you can get them for like $24 on Amazon. And it's the rough amber, not the polished amber, natural amber, and it has something in it that naturally repels fleas, and it really works. And I even took one of my cats to the vet for just a checkup, and the vet was combing her hair with a fine-tooth comb, like looking for any possible signs of fleas and couldn't even find any. And she's like, wow. And I said, yep, it's the amber collar. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth along with the lemongrass and the other things people have been talking about. I would like to just express my gratitude for this community. And also, I would love to ask for a healing for resentment in myself and just like in the human habit in general. Because I just find myself in a situation where I have this part-time psychotherapy job that I'm doing where, I'm trying to finish up my hours so I can get licensed. And it seems like a pretty good thing, except that they changed the agreement completely. The contract that I signed doesn't look anything like the way things actually are, to my detriment, not to my benefit. And I find myself constantly struggling with resentment towards the two people who are leading the practice. And I think it's kind of going back and forth. And I'm just realizing that, like, you know, it's not just us there. I think resentment is a thing in the collective, of course. So I would just love to ask a healing for harmony, for resentment to be healed and turned into harmony for myself and all beings. And then my little 6.5-year-old is feeling a little under the weather today. His name is Teo, so a little healing for him would be nice. And,
okay.
Of course, my with the Floridians as well. Thank you so much for all you do. I'm grateful.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep doing it, and you just keep your faith strong, your positive vibes out there, and somebody will decide you're more fun to dance with than the other.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one blessing is I'd like to call in the next opportunity, like the next upgraded, better opportunity that's more of a real, authentic win-win situation. So a blessing for that. I have something to transition into that's even better. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. You got it.
Thank you.
Let's see, Glenda. Susan, your line is open. Welcome.
It's so wonderful. Thanks for everybody sharing with each other. It's so beautiful. And thank you for all of that. Thank you, Nancy and Glenda, and every person who spoke before me. I just want to say, if you're talking about respiratory, I have a cousin who's had scoliosis from the time she was very little, and she's a few years older than me, and the way they treated it is very different, I think, than they do now. It left, she had a beautifully straight back, you know, when she was younger after the whole treatment, like a year in a cast, like a very, you know, from the back of her neck all the way to her coccyx, and then an operation and whatever. But it left her in her adult years with a lung and respiratory problem, and they got really severe. So now she's only maybe 3 years. I'm 73. She's just a few years older than I am, and she has to go around with an oxygen tank. And she's had issues with, I don't want to say depression. It's not that it's just something I know about her. You know, it wasn't like she went for any, just that you can feel her energy. And also that she's on my mother's side of the family, and their energy is very heavy. So I just want to, you know, put a lot of light around her. She loves to cook, and she can't because you can't cook with an oxygen tank because they're afraid of, you know, explosion or whatever. But my heart goes out to her. And her husband, who's around her age, has serious dementia. And I went, you know, talk about a double whammy. So
yeah.
I've been really, my brother called me and told me about this, and I never put a blanket around me, and I haven't had heat, and I wound up putting this blanket before I even found out about this cousin, this blanket that her mother made around me, and I it's interesting that I did that, and I never do. And then I find out about what's going on with her, and I went, no coincidences, Susan. So I just want to put prayers for the two of them, and also somebody who's dear to me who worked with me, for me, came back from Ireland, and her husband got COVID, and she may have it, and I spoke with her and gave her some tips that I thought, you know, were helpful, you know, and her name is, one is Carol and David for the cousins of mine, and the other is Katie and Martin, who came back from Ireland with, you know, with him with COVID, and she was thinking she may have it. So those are the four blessings. Oh, and me, I went for I have skin issues. I've had a number of skin cancers and the Mohs, and I have this little something, a little red mark on my head, and he wasn't sure if it is, and they biopsied it, and I don't know what the outcome is, but I'm wondering if I shouldn't go. I got the name of a fully licensed dermatologist who does DO, you know, and it's interesting you were talking about that. And I thought, well, I wonder if this comes out as a basal cell, should I then go to her? I wasn't sure, but it's interesting, Glenda, that you were talking about your veterinarian, who was a fully licensed veterinarian, but also, and I said, that's very interesting. So I just thought I'd throw that out. But anyway, put in the best scenario is that this comes out benign and not cancerous on my scalp. These Mohs surgeries are not fun at all. So
no.
That's what I'm hoping for, really.
All right. Okay, well, Susan, you're always on my list. You are, because I know that even if you don't have an issue right then, you're always trying to help somebody else who does.
Thanks, sweetie. God knows
and
I appreciate
it. That's true of so many people in our community.
you're all receivers to pass on the blessing. And I just love that about every one of you. You're all right there, ready to receive and pass it on. Pay it forward. So,
thank you,
but we got to get through our list, honey.
Absolutely. Thank you, Susan.
I talked too long today. I'm sorry about that.
So, that's okay. We have another Carolyn on the line.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Oh, good. We're doing well, thank you.
Yeah. Great. There's been a lot of discussion about medical care earlier on, and I'd like to request a blessing. My children and I have been on medication lifelong, and so have my children, and a blessing for coming off of medications when it's appropriate would be wonderful.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Anything else, Carolyn? Is that it?
No, that's it. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, Carolyn, now we have Teresa.
Hi, yes. Hi. This is my second call only for the blessings of Christ. So hello to everybody, and thank you so much. I'm still reading Love Without End. I'm three quarters of the way through it, so I'm a newbie.
Yay.
But I have, this call has been so interesting listening to everybody's requests. I started with, you know, two blessings, a two blessing request, and now I have like six. So I apologize. I'm going to go through them quickly. One is, and a couple are for, one is for a pet, actually. And I'll start with that one. It's, just today I found out that my little sister's, ex is, her dog, we're close with her, and the dog, her dog Pax, was just diagnosed with Lyme disease and was limping today. So, you know, she's taking care of that, and she always brings her to the vet, but they didn't catch it. It just showed up, but it showed up in a very severe stage. So blessings for Pax, please. I have a couple of requests that are regarding mental health. One is for my neighbor. And her son, who did try to commit suicide last week, and he's really struggling. He had also scared me a lot this summer, so it's been kind of dramatic, but he's not at the home, and he's MIA, but I'd like to send blessings to him and to his family. My little sister this week, it's a lot of stuff gone. My little sister had two emotional upsets. Her car was broken into. She lives in Texas. Her car was broken into. Fortunately, she wasn't in there, but car was broken into, and she also, a trust was broken with her partner, unfortunately. So she's having an emotional time. So I wanted blessings for her. And just found out as well, it's everything on my dad's side this week. It's funny. My 86-year-old dad and my 71-year-old stepmom both just got back from a trip to Europe and have COVID. They got off the plane with COVID. So he's 86, he's 86 and he doesn't have a spleen and, you know, so, and he is unfortunately an alcoholic. So, you know, hopefully he'll be okay. He's always strong as a horse. He sounds strong as a horse, but he is 86. So I thought I'd ask for a blessing for him.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And then the last two are, and there's a question with one of them, and I'll make it quick. One is just a blessing for me for my finances, and then the other is a blessing for health issues. I do have a chronic, it's now a two-year issue. I'm 61. I'm pretty healthy, actually. I've been pretty healthy my whole life, relatively. And right now I'm dealing with an issue for the past 2 years regarding my pelvis and painful bladder syndrome, and I've been addressing it with Western medicine, with alternative medicine. It's managed pretty much, but I just like a blessing around that. And it leads to the question of when somebody has a physical issue and we ask for a blessing, are we asking for, healing is sort of an abstract concept. Are we asking for it to be cured, per se? And what does that mean? Or are we just asking for something to be blessed so it comes out to be in our highest good?
It could be either way, actually.
Okay.
It could be either way, and it a lot depends on what you ask for. And,
I see.
You know, a lot of times we actually prefer it to be blessed so that we can walk through the situation and garner the lessons that it might bring to us. And then when it gets to the point where it's ready to be to go, we just ask for it to be healed, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'd love it to be healed. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
It, you know, but I wasn't sure if that was appropriate or not. So,
of course.
Great question.
Of course.
Great question.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because, you know, Teresa, we live in a world with, you know, cause and effect, but also side by side is miracles, and we fall on them, and I know they're real, so.
Okay, well, then I don't feel so bad asking for that. Okay, good. I was confused about that. I'm like, let me ask about that. And that's it. I know that was a big, long laundry list, but I kept writing. People would have these, you know, I was listening to the call and going, oh, yeah, oh, that's right. I have this issue, too. So thank you very
that's
much.
That's right.
Well, and I just want to add one thing.
God bless you, dear.
I just want to add one thing, just because an image keeps coming to me, Glenda, and our community, and it's just, you know how when you said he, you know, she touched my love, but she touched his robe. I just keep seeing that over and over again. So I feel like as a community, all of us were touching his robe, but today we're all touching his love, and so we have no idea how wonderful it'll turn out. So let's just touch that love.
Okay.
And
well,
before we go on to the next blessing, Glenda, I just do want to ask a blessing for today is Olivia's birthday, so it's the anniversary of a birthing day for me, and also my son-in-law's birthday, Jason, and then my granddaughter on Friday, she fell from a jump house from about like 7 feet up, and she sustained a concussion, and she's fine, but it was kind of scary because she's only a little, she's 2 and a half, and, you know, vomiting and listless and all that weird stuff with a concussion. So just blessings around Isla and her little head, and then her mama's birthday today, Olivia.
Oh, bless all of them. Bless your whole family. I know how loved they are and how important they are. Well,
thank
my
you.
Heart goes out to the baby.
Oh, thank you. And so we just have two more. What a wonderful day. I think everybody's okay with it going longer because it's been such a blessing. So we have Stephen. Your line is open.
Oh, thank
Hello,
you.
Stephen.
So great to be here. Just a blessing for my friend Aurora. She's just going through a very difficult time emotionally, financially, and she used to live in your home after I think you lived there in Sedona, and she's also an artist. So anyway, blessings for her. Blessing for another woman I don't know, but who's also named Aurora, who accidentally passed away, unfortunately. She was a young woman in her 20s, dry fasting on the Yuba River, and that Yuba River is one of my sacred spaces I go to every summer. So I heard of the news and it was very sad. I've had a little experience with dry fasting, and it's something to really, be careful around. I don't know if that was the direct cause of why she passed away. Who knows? Nobody will know. But anyway, blessing. And I'm going to be soon traveling overseas next month. So just a blessing for that to go safe and well and sound. And I'm excited for a new opportunity. I'm going to be working with an old friend on a project we once were developing years ago, and we're going to revive it. So I'll be overseas for about 6 months. So that's exciting. I'm very excited about that. So just a blessing around that, and then hopefully it's success. And also just a continued blessing around the healing of my back. I went to see an orthopedic doctor recently, and the good news is they really don't recommend surgery in my particular case. And they're referring me to a specialist physical therapist who specializes in something called the McKenzie method. I don't know the McKenzie method of physical therapy, but this is supposedly a very specialized form of physical therapy around spinal health, and being around the success of that, and that I see some gain some greater wisdom around that healing, and that eventually all the lessons that this journey has given me are really completely integrated and incorporated within myself, so that I can eventually let go of this journey and move on and be completely healed. So a blessing around that as well. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I have a message for you, Stephen. One of our new blessing givers, Sandra Olson, has been trying to get in touch with you. She's written you on the Christ Blessing group site. And she asked if I could draw your attention to it so you will look for her messages. I have a feeling that it's something to do with insight of healing for you. So but I don't really know what it is. But anyway, if you don't find her message there, then let me know and I'll send you contact information so you can just write her directly.
Okay. Thank you so much, Glenda. Thank you. And many blessings to you.
You too, and you stay in touch while you're on your big adventure, okay?
Yes, I'll be on the Isle of Man. I may not be tuning in live to the calls during my overseas stay, but I'll definitely be listening to all the recordings and joining in on giving the blessing. So, yeah.
Correct. Right. All right. Well, God bless you, and
thank you.
Best wishes for success on everything.
Thank you.
Love to you, Stephen. And our final caller is Jim.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
Oops,
I can. Hi. This is Mary calling from Twin Peaks, California, and just had a quick request. But I wanted to make a quick side comment about the gal who talked about the amber collar for the dogs. Both of my labs have been wearing those for quite some time for arthritis, and it has helped tremendously. I did not know that it also helped for fleas, so that is an added bonus. The other thing I was going to ask is a blessing for myself, because I have some lung issues and went to a conference and got COVID. So Archangel Raphael has been with me every step of the way, and I am not that sick, but I'm a little worried about my 75-year-old husband who lives with me. So if I could have a blessing for Mary and Jim, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Okay. You have it. And I just want to give a blessing, a special blessing to Nancy for being here on a day that's so important for your family. But she carved out a place for all of us. And thank you so much for that, Nancy. So,
I love everyone. Absolutely. Thank you for being here, everybody. It's such a blessing. Blessing.
Yeah. And to Olivia, happy birthday.
And Jason.
Yes. And all your loved ones. Okay. I love them all. Here we go. Let's just focus on the spirit of sweet surrender. We've all struggled, and we've studied, and we've asked, and we've applied, and we've done everything we could do or think about doing to forward benefits into the world that have been maybe a little bit beyond our reach. But let's really not focus upon that right now, because there is another place where everything is within your reach, nothing beyond your reach. That is the place of peace, wherein God dwells, from which the Holy Spirit speaks with us, and the beautiful heart of Yeshua radiates loving life energy to us. Let's just relax. Find your sweet spot in your chair, your bed, hammock, wherever you are. Let's just be in that place, in a state of complete surrender. Okay, whatever that means to you, just one thing, don't bring your mind into it. And it's not that we don't honor the mind, we do. But all minds are polarized.
That's how they compare. Minds are designed to observe and compare. Observe, make choices. I go this way, I go that way. They're rigged on comparing up to down. How far up is it? How far down is it? What other measurements are necessary into life? And so where the mind is concerned, we think we can figure things out. And you're on this call today because you've all come to realize with regard to at least one thing, you can't figure it out. It's not figurable. For that reason, don't bring your mind into it. Just say, hey, I love you, buddy. You're doing a great job at what you know how to do. I'm going to be here with God. Okay? That's what you're going to do. Now, I want you to stretch out your legs, wiggle your toes, stretch your feet, both down and up, both directions, to where you can feel it in the calf of your leg. Then I want you to shake them so you get the blood flowing. And also, there's something great about just shaking your legs is that it relaxes the muscles. You've got tension in there that you don't know anything about because you've gotten used to it. We get used to it. You know, I was shocked one day this was years and years and years ago. I patted my dad on the back and I thought I was tapping a 2x4. It was so solid. And I'd never, ever, ever felt that because he was a working man. In all regards, won't get into his story. But after he retired, he was no longer using a lot of those muscles. And he was hard as a board on his back. And if you've got places on your body that are really, really tight, shake your shoulders. Really, I'm serious. Stretch your neck. Move your head back and forth. Stretch your arm out, up and down, and then move your hand down and up. Stretch everything in every extension of your body. Lean back, sit up. In a sit-up position, turn to the left, turn to the right until you're stretching the back just a little bit. Not enough to cause any injury, just a little bit. And then you bend forward, and then you stretch your body back. Elevate your shoulders, move them down, and then rotate your shoulder. Each one, rotate your shoulder. Okay? Rotate your head. And in the process of doing all of this, you're going to start disengaging from these worries. You're going to stop thinking about it. You're going to be into your physical communication with life. With life, the flow of life through you. And you're opening up passageways through which the Spirit of God can flow. The Holy Spirit, the love of Christ can flow through these channels and these passageways. Now you can put your feet on the floor or the ground if you're outside. And most places it's still warm enough. You can put your feet directly on the ground and it's lovely. You're going to be receiving energy from the earth and from the heavens. It will come through your crown chakra and move down one side of your body into the earth, and then it will turn around and come back from the earth up the other side of your body and out your crown chakra. It will spin around your heart, so don't have anything else, especially nothing like a cell phone, close to your heart. Just allow the energy to be pure and innocent around your heart. Okay. Now, let's start with our breath. Take a very deep cleansing breath and then hold it for a few seconds and then release it. Make this the deepest, fullest breath you can. And again. And again. Now we're going to start our four square breath. That's a gentle breath. It's very easy. It's just like a little ritual that helps you to be mindful of your breath and direct it into all the benefits of life. The first thing you're going to do is exhale on one, imagine a square, okay? And on one side of the square, you're going to exhale and leave that breath there to be absorbed by nature, the world, or whoever for the count of four. And then you're going to inhale a blessing back to you to the count of four. You're going to pause for a count of four so that you can inhale, so that you can take in everything you've inhaled and be revitalized by it. And now you're going to exhale again to the count of four, giving pure, rich life energy out into the world. And then you're going to just pause to a count of four, that this breath may be taken, used, absorbed. And then you're going to inhale your reply, your gift back to the count of four. And pause to a count of four while your body finishes inhaling. This is the breath of life that you will be giving yourself right before the blessing while I'm offering my prayer to Yeshua. And then you will begin your prayer after that while the blessing givers and I are calling forth by the grace of God the energy of the heavens and the earth for you. Dear Yeshua, we come in a state of humility. We really don't even know what's wrong because we're part of everything. We don't know what the answer is because, again, anything could be possible. But we come in faith that you know, that you will hear our prayer, that you will lovingly accept our need and give us that which we need in return, that our life may be filled and fulfilled with your blessing, with your love. We ask to be given wisdom of the Holy Spirit, guidance and encouragement, that we may continue in the very best possible way with our life. And we ask to be restored in union with our Heavenly Father, that in that reunion, we may receive all the blessings of his love and care, guidance, and restorative, bountiful life. We ask that we may extend our blessings then into the world. And we ask that our prayers that we pray for others may be heard on their behalf. So many people in the world don't know to pray or how to pray or that prayer works. Let us pray for them. Let our prayers be for them, that we pray for their healing, that we pray for peace of mind, that we pray for their relationships to improve, that we pray that they be fed and they have shelter for the night and that the sources of harm and danger will be removed. We pray for all the good things of life, for those who don't know that prayer can heal anything. We offer our prayers into that. We ask all of these things, Yeshua, our beloved brother, friend, and Son of God, that has come to teach us all of these miraculous, very miraculous things. We ask in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering a blessing to those, all of those who have asked and those who did not know to ask, that we may foster and give strength, encouragement, and hope to a world that will become better. one person at a time for all the blessings you give and have given us through the ages. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to go and rest. Just completely rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer, because your prayer may touch upon the problem. Just be a blank slate upon which God will write the answers. Okay? Just be the love that you are in a neutral place of being, where anything is possible, and all you do is listen and receive. Bye-bye for now. May God bless you all, and of course, He will. My wishes and blessings to you also. And I look forward to being with you again next week. So, we say goodbye for now, but we're always together.